With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, now PJ's got Pete Medhurst shaking and a grooving.
See, this is just, you could freestyle so much to this still. And this is where the great freestylers were born. This kind of music. Kind of beat. I mean, I think that the biggest thing, too, is we underrate the quality of the musicians in Go-Go, because the quality of the music and the beat that they put behind all of it is ridiculous. It is so good. It is so good. I could sit there and freestyle the dude on the bongos. Just give me the bongos. The bongo players are ridiculous. Five in the morning and the lights go out.
I think we should take Chris to a go-go show.
Oh.
I mean, listen, I like it. Look, it's fine. I mean, I love Motown.
We roll up in there and Mo and Largo and all those folks would be up in there with us. Yes, sir.
Well, like, all right, so PJ's kind of making fun because I don't connect to that music as much as
Chuck
again, he knows that I love I love Motown music, right? But not everybody's going to connect to Motown like I do.
It's okay.
You know, like to me, Jackson 5 and the Temptations,
ABC.
You know, I mean that's where music was. You know, like everybody's going to connect to something differently. Everything's going to speak to somebody differently.
She used to be my girl. That's what we used to sing all the time.
I love when Pete sings. It just makes me happy.
It's not a genre, really. I mean, the other day, I'm just sitting there cannoning one Metallica song after another. And I got the volume turned up. Everybody's going like, daggone, Pete's listening to Metallica? There's really no music that I don't have an appreciation for, because I think there's an art form to all of it. There's an art form to all different types of music.
Pete Medhurst is with us for the remaining part of the show until noon. Nice enough to come in early. He'll host Nats Talk Live today after the 1:35 Nats and Brewers game. Craig High is coming up less than an hour from now from Nationals Park. He'll take you up until Nats on Deck. So we have you covered all afternoon if you're coming on down to the ballpark. I haven't seen the lineups yet. Got to check to see who
I got it.
Is in, who is out after the last night. Last night's 14 innings.
The only difference,
sure.
The only difference is Adams for Kendrick and Dozier for Cabrera.
Okay.
And Yan Gomes for Suzuki, which we knew.
Which we knew.
Was in 14th inning last night. Suzuki's still back there. So
right. All right. So that's, either way, it doesn't change the focus that they're going to need Fetty to probably get into the seventh inning because, again, Doolittle unlikely to go today for obvious reasons, as we talked about. All throughout the 9 o'clock hour, as well, guys like Javi Guerra and who was it that pitched two innings before Guerra?
Tanner Rainey.
Yeah, Tanner Rainey.
By the way,
probably all going to be 100
miles an hour. Rip the phone book. You're out.
But a quick turnaround after two innings late last night, not going to be conducive in a high leverage spot. All right, 800-636-1067.
By the way, sad news in from the world of the NFL. Former Bears, Bengals, and Packers running back Cedric Benson killed in an Austin, Texas overnight motorcycle crash.
Oh, God.
Oh. There you have it.
So he was on a motorcycle?
Allegedly, yes.
Oh, God. I mean, it just, it happens way too often to people that are not famous. I don't know. I mean, driving around in cars with all the idiots that just think they're driving in the Daytona 500 and can cut you off at a moment's notice, not even a moment's notice, dangerous enough to me to drive around on a motorcycle is insane. I mean, there's just no protection.
I have always wanted one, but, the lady I share insurance policies with and children with made that known very early in our relationship.
Otherwise known as your wife.
Probably not going to be a good investment. I don't think we're going to be investing in that. Okay. But, a lot of people do.
She wants to protect the golden pipes.
I don't know about that. She just wants to protect the paycheck. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
She just likes the direct deposit.
Wow, Pete.
You know that, Chris.
Pete Medhurst throwing Mrs. Medhurst.
You know that.
Oh, yeah. All right, so here's what I wanted to get to this hour, and we'll finish
just
up on
kidding, the, by the way.
Yes, we'll finish up on the Nats later on this hour for everybody driving down here. And again, it's going to be hot as hell out there. Make sure, especially if you're out in those bleacher, you know, the right field seats where the sun is always just blowing down.
Out there, section 106, left field. Ooh,
man alive. So, as a takeaway from Thursday night's game, again, the officiating became the big thing. Here's my question to you. Chris Cooley said something that was kind of interesting on his podcast. My pal, JR on Twitter, at J_Rowe14, always does his best to help me out. So he listened to this, right? I have not listened to this, to be fair. But he transcribed what Cooley said, where he said, quote, developing Dwayne Haskins right now and making sure that Dwayne knows that you believe in him. Believe in him with every bit of you is going to do Jay, meaning Gruden, some favors in the future. You want Dwayne to say, Jay Gruden is my guy. We are together. This is how we want to grow. This is how I want to develop. I can't believe what he's done for me as a player. Cooley said, and to get that to happen, you don't sit him on the bench for 6 weeks and say, you're just not ready. You scheme and you create and make things to happen for Dwayne. So when he says that, how I read that is maybe he's not saying week one, but he sure as hell ain't saying week six, week seven, week eight, week nine, which is what I think Jay Gruden and his staff are thinking.
How much of that thought process, though, Chris, is sponsored by the fact that neither of the two veterans, Case Keenum or Colt McCoy, have grasped the job so strongly with their performance, right, that, you know, if they have grasped the job, then we wouldn't necessarily be worried as much about Dwayne Haskins and talk as much about that, because we'd be talking about how overwhelmingly, wow, Colt McCoy, or wow, Case Keenum really has looked outstanding,
right,
in camp and in the exhibition games. Great command of what they're doing in the huddle and obviously the offense and stuff like that. And we know for a fact that that's not the case. So I think, therefore, the fact that neither one of those guys has done anything to make you go, wow, it's their job. That's why so many others have started to say, in so many uncertain terms, why not Dwayne? You know, we saw progression from week one to week two in preseason.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see how much better he plays this week against the Atlanta Falcons. Because progression, week one to week two, it's always a huge improvement.
Right.
They talk about that all the time. We saw that. I mean, do you believe you saw a better Dwayne Haskins
Absolutely.
Thursday than you saw against Cleveland?
I still don't think we saw a perfect Dwayne Haskins.
But not by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But
we definitely saw a better Dwayne Haskins.
And did you see at any point a sense of lack of confidence in Dwayne Haskins? By Dwayne Haskins,
no.
In Dwayne Haskins?
No.
Absolutely. And those are the triggers that you're looking for right now.
Yeah.
Does he look tepid?
He knows he can make every throw on the football field.
The biggest
question is, can they
keep him on his feet so he can make every throw? And that's why the touchdown play to Robert Davis was so important. He hung in there, people all around him, and he said, that's great. So much for you guys. Boom, I'm getting the ball down the field.
I truly believe if Dwayne Haskins started week one in Philadelphia, Pete, that Dwayne Haskins would make two or three plays or throws that would just make you salivate. The question is what does he do on the other 55 plays?
And what is the cost?
Yeah, and exactly. Because here's the thing. If he goes out and struggles and just gets beat up and mutilated in a football sense, and sacked five times because he's trying to hold on to the ball an extra tick, and the offensive line is obviously overmatched because the Eagles, A, front is very good, and B, because you don't have Trent Williams, and it might be, oh, by the way, overmatched, even if you had Trent Williams, different story. The bottom line is I think if you start him and he gets beat up and he turns the ball over two or three times, whether it be, again, fumbles like the other night, and a lot of people had an issue with that call. Again, I haven't studied that particular play as much as I probably should, but from what I saw live on Thursday night, I didn't, again, disagree with the call on the field. Maybe you have a different
perspective, either way, it goes down as a sack fumble. Not saying it was his fault, but again, that's part of the process. If he has three turnovers, if he gets sacked four or five times, if you start him week one, does it hurt his confidence? Does it hurt his ability to recognize what he has to do at the line of scrimmage in terms of slide protections, in terms of adjusting protections, in terms of knowing his hot, in terms of knowing his read, in terms of getting rid of the ball quickly? Does he start taking checkdowns as opposed to running through the whole offense? These are the things that we just don't know, that we have to wait until we actually see him in a game situation like that. But I think you would be I think it would benefit him, and I think it would benefit the Redskins if you found out that in week six or week seven as opposed to week one.
Well, let me throw this at you. Right now, how much more of a grasp of the offense can Kevin O'Connell and Jay Gruden cut Case Keenum loose with than Dwayne Haskins right now? The reason why Colt McCoy seemed to be the leader in the clubhouse,
because of his knowledge of the offense,
knows where to go with every play. In fact, right. Colt even said it. I know where Jay wants to go before Jay even calls the play.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, now you got two quarterbacks in terms of knowledge of the offense that were neophytes coming in here. Year one in the system. So maybe you have to simplify the package a little bit more for Dwayne Haskins and lean obviously on Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis in terms of the ground game. But if you simplify as each week goes on, maybe add a little bit more and add a little bit more as the quarterback shows you he's capable of doing it, you could almost go with Dwayne Haskins from the get-go based on what we've seen so far from Case Keenum, which has not exactly been, you know, the greatest grasp of what's going on in terms of the execution. I think the veteran quarterback adapts to it a little bit faster. Right. I don't doubt that. But if you had to go with Haskins, you could simplify your passing passing combinations enough where you could get by running the football and keeping it simple enough for him where he could try to take three or four deep shots during the course of the game. But as you and I talked about at the beginning of the segment, at what tax does the other 17 to 25 passing plays right. that you may have to call during the course of a game? Because against Philadelphia, you're going to have to score to beat them.
Yeah,
I don't care what anybody says. You're going to have to score to beat the Eagles. You know, you're not going to beat the Eagles 13-10. That's not going to happen. I don't care how good their defense is. So you're going to have to get, to me, with that defense the Redskins have, if you get to 20 to 21 points a game, you're going to have a shot every week, because I think that defense is going to keep you in a lot of football games against most people. But even against better offenses, we've seen it, Chris. It doesn't matter how good your defense is. Great offenses find a way to score. Right, they get matchups against you two or three times a game to put points up against you.
There's some wiggle room and a wiggle room plan that I want to bounce off of you. We can get your thoughts on it as well at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. It is The Fan and the Radio.com app. That might have been the craziest play in Little League World Series history.
Well,
that we just saw.
We're watching Loudon South. Yes. Scoreless in the first inning. Bases loaded. Nobody out with Colton Hicks, the cleanup hitter, up. But they just had a merry-go-round going on the bases. And clearly,
it was insane.
I think Alan Bowden, the head coach, is the third base coach. And he clearly has not watched Bob Henley. Because Bob Henley would have sent his man right there. And his guy rounded third and stopped. But the guy kept running from second to third.
Yeah.
And Minnesota was like, where do we go? Where do we go? Where do we throw? Where do we throw? The guy looks at first and everybody's able to get back. Fortunately, they still have the bases loaded.
And then Alan Bowden gave the old safe sign.
Like every coach.
Exactly.
Look, there was a guy the other day. It was the guy they were playing the other day. They played Rhode Island. Coach at first goes, safe. And the umpire calls out. And then the umpire said to him, coach, do not do that. So the coach challenged the call, and the kid was out by a mile at first base. It wasn't even close. So the umpire in that case was right. Give it to him.
And I'm sure he didn't appreciate the coach challenging the call.
Well, that's what it's there for.
Right. All right, so...
No score, bottom of the first
exactly.
one out.
Exactly. So Virginia still has the bases loaded. South Riding, Virginia, that is. Which is, you know, like where I live, so...
1,400 kids, by the way, that play in that Little League program.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Absolutely. So they just showed Alan Bowden on the – and he wasn't the head coach last year, which
he's one of the assistants.
Right, exactly. He was with the program. But they have built a powerhouse, no doubt about it. All right, so we'll keep you up to date on that. Craig Heist, again, coming up at the top of the hour. So here's the thing that I wanted to ask you. We were just kind of talking about what Cooley said, kind of adjusting the offense, maybe making it more Haskins friendly. I guess we could diagnose what we think could work in that regard. But here's my question to you. If they just choose to go with Case Keenum, which is, oh, by the way, what they should do, because he's a veteran and because he knows more about playing the quarterback position, even though he does not.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Know more about this system, presumably, than Dwayne Haskins does because they've been here about the same amount of time. I mean, obviously, Case Keenum was traded for before Dwayne Haskins was taken. But if they go with Case Keenum, I don't think they're declaring, like they basically did publicly in 2015, that Case Keenum is our quarterback for the rest of the year. They can say that's their intent. They can say that's their plan. But I think when you go with Case Keenum because you don't have Colt McCoy, what you're doing is you're saying, okay, this is our plan for now because we're trying to give Dwayne Haskins a little bit of extra time. We're trying to get him a little bit more ready. We're trying to let him go through a game planning week, which most see. This is one thing that I think fans and media are kind of sleeping on. This guy's never game planned for an opponent at the NFL level. It's a completely different beat. Of course, he did it in college for however many starts he actually made and for whatever time he was at Ohio State. I get it. I understand that. But it's different in the NFL. It's different on the NFL level. So that's one of the reasons why I don't lean to start. But I think when you say we're going to go with Case Keenum just because he's the veteran and he is that veteran savvy, I think what you're setting up is the ability to say, like the Cleveland Browns did, even though they were 0-1-1, they needed a spark. They needed a change. They needed the lifeblood of their franchise, the guy that they identified to be the next wave. Baker Mayfield, boom, week three. I think it's setting up for whether it's week two, week three, week four, week five, whatever it is. But I think earlier than later, Pete, because neither one of these veteran quarterbacks have separated themselves and have proven that they are so clearly better than Haskins, I think it basically screams, okay, we might not be able to wait until week eight, week nine, week 10, or the end of the year or next year for Dwayne Haskins. We might only be able to wait week two, week three. Is that such a bad thing?
No, I don't think that's a bad thing. And we've heard all along so far as based on that schedule that you've got to hold him out through the first 6 weeks or something like that.
To get through those first five games.
So, at some point, Case Keenum's results are going to determine whether Dwayne Haskins plays sooner or later. If Case Keenum plays well, then in the grand scheme of things, Chris, that's fantastic because everybody wants to draw the comparison to Pat Mahomes, who sat out pretty much that whole first year behind Alex Smith.
Played the regular season
finale.
Played
the regular season finale for, a half and got a taste of it then. In a perfect world, yes. In a perfect world, we'd love for that to happen.
Yes.
But in this case, is Case Keenum going to get you the same results that Alex Smith got for the Kansas City Chiefs in that same situation?
No.
That's where, at some point, Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen, Jay Gruden, what do they all share in common, all three of those guys? They want to win.
Yeah.
They want to win every game.
Yeah.
Want to win every game.
But they also might see it differently. And this is the unique nature of this situation. Jay sees it differently, I think, than Dan, Bruce, and maybe many do, in that he wants to win, but he feels that Dwayne Haskins, I don't want to put words in his mouth, he might be feeling, I think he's feeling, that Dwayne Haskins might make more big plays, but he might also serve up
plays. Again, it goes back to what we said earlier. Dwayne Haskins is going to throw the ball. He's going to hit Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
He's going to hit Paul Richardson, who can get down the field. Yeah. He's going to do that.
Assuming he can stay on the field.
Right. He's going to do that once or twice a ball game. But what is the tax of the other 70 plays he runs during the course of the game?
And that's the conundrum that the Redskins are in. Just like the Nationals are in a conundrum with Sean Doolittle, the Nationals are kind of...
That's why guys get paid a lot of money,
yes,
Chris.
Yes, exactly.
That's basically what it comes down. Guys get paid a lot of money to make decisions like that.
Yeah, and they don't always qualify as the right decisions, nor do they qualify as brain surgeons for always making the right decisions. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll come back, take your calls on that. PJ Elliott, bottom of the hour sports flash. A half an hour to go. We'll get back into the Nationals as well here on a Sunday late morning heading towards a steamy hot afternoon. All right, South Riding, Virginia has a 3-0 lead in the Little League World Series. So that's a good start for the boys there as they try and march on in this double elimination tournament. It's pretty cool what they have. I saw the Pittsburgh Pirates. We were watching them arrive on their charter flight and greet the other Little Leaguers that weren't playing. Now they're running through the stands and they're, you know, shaking hands and taking pictures and...
Up in the play area.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I had some cornhole going in my house yesterday with my Navy cornhole boards.
I heard you had a little slip and fall, actually.
Dude, I kicked my little cheeseburger toy for my dog, and up on my pool deck, she clipped my left leg out from underneath of me, and my right foot slipped where the pool was wet on the pool deck.
15-yard foul, and clipping.
And, dude, it happened so slow.
No instant replay.
Chris, it happened so slow. As all of a sudden, I'm spinning around and I'm going down so slow. Like, okay, I just hit my back. All right, I know I'm going to hit my head and my neck at some point. Okay, boom, there that is. It was like I was able to predict it in slow motion, like what was happening. And it eventually happened. And I got up. I'm like, hey, I'm cool. I'm all right. Everybody's like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. The bad part is it's my pool deck, so I can't sue myself.
Right. No, absolutely.
So I'm not suing myself.
I'm just glad you're okay.
Uh-oh. I mean, by the way, they just showed the players playing ping pong, Chris.
Uh-oh.
Chris how Russell's deadly game.
How could they do that?
No game how disrupts a clubhouse more than ping pong.
How could they do that?
I mean, bench them all.
Notice how we have not so far had a DJ live appearance at Redskins Park, either DJ Jealousy, who works here, or some other DJ at some point. Notice how we haven't had that yet. I'm just saying. Notice how we haven't had that yet for the Redskins. I'm sure it's coming to celebrate the start to the preseason that they've had. All right, before we wrap up on the Nationals, Pete, again, let me ask it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Cooley is kind of saying it's up to Jay to change and Kevin O'Connell to change the system to make it more easier of a transition for Dwayne Haskins. I think there's different things that they certainly can do to incorporate an element or to incorporate the elements that Ohio State did more of, a lot of jet sweeps, a lot of quick one read throws.
Crossing routes.
Absolutely.
How many times when he was with the Buckeyes did we see Paris Campbell coming from left to right, and then boom, turns it upfield, 70 yards, touchdown,
right.
Buckeyes.
But that's not the Jay Gruden that I know. Jay Gruden has always stubbornly, with Kirk Cousins, with Robert, with Colt McCoy, with Alex Smith, Jay Gruden has always wanted to work, if he can, in an ideal world, top to bottom, number one, meaning he'd rather look deep first than check it down, if we use that parallel. The other thing that I know Jay Gruden to be is a guy that, you know, and maybe this is stubbornness, maybe this is belief in his own system, because so many regard him as a great play designer, and I'm not saying he's not. I don't know if he's as great as everybody else thinks he is, but whatever. People think, and the evidence is there, Pete, that Jay Gruden does not like to run modified systems. He does not like to necessarily shape and build his game plan or his play calls around what he has or what he doesn't have. He wants to call the whole damn thing.
I'd love to go back and look at Jay's initial playbook and execution the first year or so with Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the gradual deterioration of the Bengals through the years, what was the one thing that happened? Jay left.
Yeah.
When Jay left, the gradual consistency and execution of the offense in Cincinnati gradually had issues. Now, they've certainly rebuilt the skill positions. They've got some good skill people there. Obviously, A.J. Green's injuries the last 2 years have been very disruptive to the club, but you know, Tyler Boyd's emerging as a potential star. He was great at Pittsburgh. It was just a matter of time before he became a star on the NFL level. Andy Dalton's still accurate, still able to get the ball out. They've got Joe Mixon as a terrific, better-than-average NFL running back. Now, their problem is offensive line. They draft a left tackle with their first pick. Dude's already gone for the year. He's not going to play for him. So, and now you look at that division, how the Bengals are going to crept. But that's the one thing. When Jay left, there was a deterioration in execution and consistency with the Bengals. Because Jay left, the offense was not the same.
I think it was still good, though, for the first year or two after Jay was gone.
But I'm saying gradual deterioration, though. And that's why they've now found themselves finally in a position where they're looking up at the rest of that division. I don't think there's any question about that right now. So they're going to have to do some work. And A.J. Green, the one thing you know about A.J. Green, he's probably not playing 16 games.
No.
Not playing 16 games.
He might not play 10 games.
That's a problem. That's a problem. You need him. You need him to execute anything similar to that offense because he's the guy that's getting down the field. He's the guy that can go up, win balls, high point balls, and win one-on-one battles and make plays for you. He's a playmaker.
Back to the Skins for just a sec. Mm-hmm. If they chose, and again, I still think I am convinced Jay Gruden wants nothing to do with Dwayne Haskins in week one. But like Cooley's basically saying, maybe not week one, but maybe like week three, week four, as opposed to the original plan, which is, hey, if we can hide this guy for as long as we can, let's do that. Let's not play him if we have to week 10, week 11, week 12, somewhere in that range. But without Trent Williams and the very real possibility that Trent Williams is not going to be here now, which is much more real today than it was, say, a month ago in pretty much everyone's eyes. Again, does that affect your decision on when to unleash Dwayne Haskins? Because we keep talking about him not being ready. Cooley says, well, you can adjust the game plan, this, that, and the other thing. Okay, you can adjust the game plan so much and all the calls, but if you don't have, if you don't legitimately give him a chance to succeed, are you hurting him and therefore the franchise more by being impatient and just saying, look, we got to get him in there.
Chris, your answer to that question all comes down to how Case Keenum plays. If Case Keenum plays well, then Dwayne Haskins can just sit over there, look pretty with the baseball cap on, right, wave at his family up in the stands, knowing he's collecting a paycheck and taking less abuse this year. If Case Keenum doesn't play well, doesn't execute well, doesn't get you the results, Dwayne Haskins is going to be in the football game. It's that simple.
What if Case Keenum is the starter, which is what he should be, and it's not Dwayne Haskins that comes in next to replace a struggling Case Keenum? What if it's Colt McCoy?
Right now, Chris, I have no faith at this point physically in Colt McCoy. I think there's still a lot going on there physically with him, and I don't think the leg is healed, and I think there are issues with him getting back to 100%, and until he can be 100%, I don't think you can put him in a football game because I think the first time he takes a shot, that could be it all over again.
But that's been, unfortunately, the story of his career as much
bad
as they've
luck.
Tried to protect
it,
him.
It really
and as
is.
Little
I
as
mean,
he's
look,
played.
Injuries are bad luck for the most part.
Yeah.
But I think right now, we've seen nothing to believe that it's going to be anything but Keenum. And the longer Colt can't play, it's going to be Keenum Haskins. And they're going to have to make a tough decision on Colt McCoy roster-wise. I truly believe that's coming when they get down to that final week and they've got to get from 90 down to 53.
It's going to be really interesting. When we come back, we'll finish up the show. Craig Heiss is going to take over at noon live from Nationals Park. We have a couple of Nationals roster moves, or at least one, I should say, and as well an update on Max Scherzer that will round out the show and get Pete's thoughts on. Pete's going to host Nats Talk Live following today's 1:35 game with the Milwaukee Brewers. Again, Heist coming up at noon from Nationals Park. And they'll take you, or he'll take you, until Nats on Deck at 1:05 right here on the Fan.
What are we doing here, Chris?
Besides you dancing.
What are we doing?
No chance he gets it.
D-A-B-U-T-T.
No chance. What do you think? I like slept under a rock? Come on, Peach.
Okay. I was wrong.
Everybody knows the rooster is here. Come on and dance with me. I'm doing the and with the rooster on Sunday. His name's the rooster. He's here from 9 until noon today.
Like by the way, this. All should stop. Brady Yates is up.
They should incorporate that last 10 seconds into my 2-minute open for Dukes' show.
That's right.
I like that. He is the rooster.
Pete Medhurst on the mic. I love it. I love it. South Riding, Virginia, now up 4-0, Pete. 4-0. And you were just talking about how if they could expand this a little bit, they might be able to save a little mileage on their pitching staff.
Yeah, you blow them out, get the run rule in play. You only have to pitch like 4 or 5 innings. You get it, you know, be a little more economical because as you go further in this tournament, he who has the best pitching usually wins. Should say he or she because Minnesota has a terrific female player, Maddie Keckering. Made a great catch at second base to end the first inning.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And just showed some great versatility running a ball down in the foul territory, so you got to say he or she, give her respect. She's been a great player in the regional and in their first game in a Little League World Series. But, you know, look, the more you can save your pitching because you're going to need it, you're going to need your big guns for Hawaii and New Jersey coming up. Those two play later today. That's going to be a phenomenal game to watch later on. And this is why I think Loudoun South got the big advantage. They got the draw on their side. Their upper bracket, far weaker than that bottom bracket that had Louisiana, New Jersey, and Hawaii all in it. So This is very helpful for our boys from Loudoun South as they try to win this thing.
Yeah, and New Jersey and Hawaii, as you mentioned, they play later on today at 2 Eastern time. So we'll keep you up to date as best we can. All right, so Kyle MacGowan, according to Todd Dybas of NBC Sports Washington, just walked into the Nats locker room. However, we don't have a corresponding roster move. As of yet, of course, as we talked about how taxed the bullpen is, not only Sean Doolittle.
Makes sense, though.
But again, with Javi Guerra, and you pointed out exactly, like if Fetty doesn't have, you know, we talked about the need for Fetty to get to 7 innings tonight. If Fetty doesn't, or today, I should say, if Fetty doesn't have it, and for whatever reason is just getting absolutely blitzkrieged, excuse me, they don't have Guerra, who pitched 3 innings. They don't have Rainey, who pitched 2 innings. Of course, again, we just mentioned Doolittle and his struggles. You can't ask Strickland to go really long. You can't ask Suero to go really long. You have absolutely no faith at all in Matt Grace at this point. So you needed some sort of an arm. The question is, what happens if Fetty gets you 7? What happens if Fetty gets you 7 today and you have a 1-run lead? What do you do? In the 8th inning, I would assume you go Fernando Rodney and then you close it out with Daniel Hudson? Or is it Rodney who was closing before the deadline when Doolittle wasn't available and you go with him and use Hudson as basically your setup guy?
I would think you go Rodney 8th and then Hudson 9th. I mean, that would be my, if I'm the manager, that's the way I go about it today. But, you know, Hudson's had a lot of mileage too since he got here. So, I mean, you could go Suero and then Rodney. It all depends on how many
how many guys are actually available in that bullpen today. And, you know, Davey Martinez speaks at the top of the hour, so we might get a little bit more of an indication of how many guys he really has available today. But I think some combination of Suero, Rodney, Hudson, if Fetty can get you into the seventh inning, would be just absolutely optimal today. I'd like to stay away from Strickland today because that would be 3 days in a row for Hunter. Right. So I'd like to stay away from him if possible. Remember, that guy was on the 60-day DL not long ago.
No, you're right.
And he's been phenomenal since he got here. So I'd like to stay away from him if I possibly could today.
Talked to a scouting buddy, a friend of mine, who said one of his other scouts, friends and confidants, he said he had watched Strickland in person just this past week and was really impressed. But you're right. You have to, you know, and you're right. He might not be available today. Real quickly, one other quick thing. Max Scherzer declared himself, again, ready to pitch. Davey Martinez referred to him as, quote-unquote, ornery.
Of course, he's one of the great competitors in professional
Max
sports.
Sounds like Max is driving them crazy.
Max would push to be activated today and throw an inning out of the bullpen if necessary.
Absolutely.
They might
need it. Craig Heist is coming up for an hour after us and leading you to Nats on Deck with Charlie and Dave. And I understand Heistar is joining us on the Comrex unit, the Heist Rex, as it's kind of not become known around here. And he joins us. No, he's not there. Okay, he's not there.
He's probably going downstairs to talk to Davey Martinez because Davey's
scheduled. Got a show to do in about 6 minutes, so he better not be doing
six
that.
6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're on. So, yeah. Maybe he went to get some ice cream.
Yeah, there was a communication.
That's what I would do.
Because PJ said he was ready to go, and then Heistar probably went to go get some eggs and sausage.
No, let's not throw Heist under the bus. I asked, do you want him? Because he was there and connected.
Oh.
I didn't give him the heads up, like, hey, do you want to come on?
He probably went to get some of the great. See, the great things about being in the press box there, free soft serve till like the fifth or sixth inning.
Yeah.
And I usually have two bowls of it while I'm there, minimum.
You're a junk food kind of guy, aren't
I am.
You?
I'm a fast food pinata kind of dude.
Like, how do you stay, like, thin? Relatively thin.
Well, I umpire. I officiate basketball. I have an 11-year-old daughter that constantly says, Dad, let's go out and play basketball. Let's go out and pitch. And let's go out and hit. And stuff like that. So, you know, I don't just sit. First of all, I don't have much time to go home and sit on my rear end.
Yeah.
Which is good. I do push-ups in there in the mornings while I'm here. I walk around. You know, while the junkies are spewing for an hour until I have to talk again. There's a lot. I walk up to the rooftop up there, and I walk back and forth, get a look at National Airport. It's beautiful.
Pete does push-ups in the update.
I do push-ups, and I do all tricep right. dips.
Real quickly, before we exit stage left, for Craig Heist, he joins us here for a moment or two. Heistar, we went to you just a moment ago, and we were trying to figure out where you went. Were you heading for the ice cream machine?
No, not this early. No.
No. How about the crabs, hon?
That'll come later tonight. Trust me.
Okay, there you go.
Last night was a long night.
What time did you get out of there, Heisty?
I left probably about 2:30, I guess. I got to sleep about 4:30 and 3 hours of sleep and back in here. So.
Wow.
We're ready for a 2-1 Nats win in about 2 hours and 20 minutes today.
Good luck on that. You'll probably get a 15-inning affair again. So we talked about Kyle MacGowan. I guess he walked into the clubhouse a little while ago. They just need somebody with a fresh arm.
Well, yeah, they do, and they need some length. Typically what they would like more than anything is to get about six innings out of Eric Fetty today. If they can do that and he can continue to pitch like he's pitched here recently, he along with Joe Ross, that would behoove them very well before they head out on that road trip that goes four through Pittsburgh and then three through Chicago. And, Pete, I understand you're going to be doing some play-by-play in Chicago, right?
That's correct, sir. I will be there over the weekend at Wrigley. Looking forward to it. Never been there. So, by the way,
Wrigley
we do
Field.
Have the official word now, Sean Doolittle to the 10-day IL with right knee tendonitis, and they've recalled Kyle MacGowan from Double A.
So that's the move. There you go.
So there's your move.
So they're not even saying arm or tired arm. They're saying right knee tendonitis.
Doesn't matter how you get him there. I think you just had to get him there, let him refresh, reset, and we'll see you in 10 days, Hoss, and you'll be back ready to go.
How about that?
Exactly. So, again, this was something that was needed because if you think about the last, say, four outings for him, We know about the lead that was blown in New York against the Mets in game one of that series. He gave up 4 runs and 6 hits in the ninth inning. He came back. He closed out the last game of that series and looked pretty good doing it. The game here against Cincinnati, he took a 3-run lead into the ninth inning, gave up 2, but managed to hold on to get the save, and then saved another game here. But then last night was just not a very good outing, and you could tell, too, because the velocity was down, and whatever's causing it, they need to get a handle on it, because make no mistake, if they're going to get to go where they want to go, they're going to need Sean Doolittle without question.
All right, so Craig Heist is coming up next for the following hour, and he'll lead us into Nats on Deck with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler at 105. Pete Medhurst will have Nats Talk Live right after the ball game today. Sandwiched in between all that, again, Eric Fetty takes the bump for the Nationals before they head to Pittsburgh for a key 7-game road trip. Heistar, looking forward to listening. Actually, we'll probably see you over at the ballpark in just a little bit.
All right, and we'll be hearing from Doolittle from last night, Dave Martinez, what he had to say after the game last night, and then we'll hear what he had to say this morning talking to the media, which is about ready to get started down in the interview room.
Sounds good. Looking forward to that. That's Craig Heist. Make sure you listen to him live from Nationals Park coming up here over the next hour. Pete, my man, I can't thank you enough for coming in and rescuing me out of the bullpen. Great to work with you and great to talk about some of these issues that we have on the front burner. Absolutely. Looking forward to on my way home this afternoon listening to Nats Talk Live, which
thanks.
You will host from the very, very, very hot red box out on the left field concourse. Thanks to PJ Elliott for all of his great work. As always, thanks to you guys for listening and calling. Craig Heist coming up next from Nationals Park. Have a great afternoon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.